This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
At WKAR.org. Jack Ebling here, News Talk 870 Sports. And we are talking football recruiting today. It is National Signing Day. Very happy to have in one of our guests today, guest hosts, and that is Dan Kilbridge. I work with at Spartan Tailgate site for 24/7 Sports. We're going to be joined shortly by Sean Shearer, and we're going to have a couple of quick conversations with Michigan State signees. At least we think they're signing today. That's the plan. And that is linebacker John Retschke from Birmingham Brother Rice and quarterback Damian Terry from Erie Cathedral Prep High School in Pennsylvania. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jack. Big day.
Big day. And you've been working very hard on this. You and Sean have put in an incredible amount of time trying to stay on top of this. Is it getting easier or harder to monitor football recruiting?
Yeah, I think it's getting harder with the way kids kind of go back and forth. And you know, like we were talking about earlier, with the way kids make decisions earlier these days, as sophomores and some as early as freshmen in the SEC, you really get a sense that these kids kind of make up their mind a little too early in some cases, and so that makes it a little more difficult. In terms of the process, it gets easier the more you handle recruiting and the more experience you get, but signing day is never relaxing. At 24/7 Sports, I think I'm sweating Mountain Dew at this point.
I don't want to give away all your secrets, but how do you do what you do? How much time do you spend on the phone talking to kids, talking to coaches, talking to other sources to get the information that we wind up publishing?
Well, it's a lot of hours because it's not like covering a team or a game where there's stats available and everything is right there in front of you. You have to make a lot of calls, and it's a lot of time on the phone with high school coaches, who I like to go to because I think they have maybe the truest sense of a player and what he can do and what the real interest is there among schools, as opposed to maybe an outside source or a family member. But getting to know the kids is important too, and building that relationship with them throughout the process so that they know they can trust you. And
you're like a recruiter. You've
exactly
got to build that relationship.
Right. Well, they talk to so many coaches. I get called coach a lot, and I have to correct them. Not...
Jack Ebling here with Coach Dan Kilbridge, and we are talking about college football recruiting. You mentioned younger and younger. Is that a good thing?
I don't think so. I mean, it's a necessary thing. Now, I mean, we've seen Michigan State already this month begin to offer a lot of high school sophomores, a couple kids from Detroit, Cass Tech, and other area schools. And I don't think it's necessarily a good thing for these kids to have all these offers right away, because as we've seen, that can lead to them maybe making a decision a little too early.
Right.
And we see more of these decommitments that can really throw coaching staffs for a loop. Luckily, Michigan State has been able to stay away from that. Very few decommits for them over the past several years. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way that they go about the process and make absolutely sure that a kid is genuine in his interest.
When we talk about players decommitting from schools, we forget there's another aspect to this, and that can be schools decommitting from players.
Right.
Nothing is set until the letter of intent is signed, and if there's a coaching change, something happens, a different philosophy, suddenly somebody can be left in the lurch. We saw that this year, Lansing Everett with Jaleel Canty,
right,
who was a terrific defensive back, wide receiver, all-stater, was at the Free Press All-State Banquet and it didn't have a date to the prom. I mean, it just so happened that when Butch Jones left Cincinnati for Tennessee, he didn't take Jaleel Canty with him to the SEC. And when Tommy Tuberville came in from Texas Tech and showed up at Cincinnati, he said, no thanks, I'm not interested. So after you've told five schools no, suddenly you're without a home.
Yeah, and it goes both ways too. I mean, you see these kids, once a coach leaves, you know, a lot of them commit to a coach, or at least that's the way they view it. And we've seen that with Brett Bielema going to Arkansas, leaving Wisconsin. I talked to a few Wisconsin commits about an hour after the announcement that told me Michigan State had already contacted them.
Is that right?
And trying to get them. So it's kind of a free-for-all when you see these coaches leave. But I do think there is a double standard there to a certain extent. You know, when kids get abused on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. But the coaches can leave at any time, too. And I think that can leave a lot of things in limbo on both sides.
We're going to take your calls here if you want specific information on Michigan State's recruiting, other recruiting in the Big Ten, specific players. We'll do our best to answer that, maybe put the national scene in perspective. And we would like your calls. You can let us know what you'd like to hear at 877-WKAR-870 or 355-WKAR locally. Also, we have some tickets, Dan, and we did this yesterday, too. We have hockey tickets for Saturday night's game against Bowling Green, and we have a pair of basketball tickets for the Michigan game next Tuesday.
There you go, hot ticket.
Hot ticket. So we're going to have a pair of drawings, and if you prefer the hockey tickets, you can let us know that. Otherwise, the first name we draw will be for the Michigan basketball tickets, and the second one will be for the hockey tickets. And the number to call is a special number for that, so be sure you take note of this. 884-4783. That's 884-4783 if you want to be entered in the ticket drawing, and we'll do that right at the end of the show. We're also going to hear from a couple of Michigan State players, as we mentioned. You're going to be hearing from linebacker John Reschke and quarterback Damian Terry, and two of the higher-profile recruits Michigan State has in this class. I think Reschke's at the top of the list.
Yeah, him and Terry are right up there.
Right up
there. Both state champions.
Both state champions. And there's a lot to be said for that. I think learning how to win is important. And I think a lot of coaches look at that, Dan, as much as statistics or anything else. Do you come from a winning program? Do you know how to play the game? Have you learned what it takes to sacrifice? And you probably see that with Reschke and Terry.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to both of them quite a bit, and they've got great heads on their shoulders. And I think Michigan State certainly looks for that, maybe even more so than some of the other schools in the recruiting process and really trying to getting to know these kids, who they are, what kind of background they have. Now, are they going to say no to a five-star that maybe they're not sure about his character? I don't think so. However, there does seem to be a type that D'Antonio has been recruiting, and it is these kids that, very high character and winners, like we talked about earlier. So I do think Michigan State places a big emphasis on that sort of thing in the process.
I think that is important. You find sometimes guys who have all the athleticism in the world don't make it at the next level. Maybe they haven't learned what it takes to win. Everyone wants to win, but a lot of guys don't want to prepare to win. And that takes sacrifice, takes discipline, and those are the things that separate winners and losers at the college level, because the skill difference sometimes is not that great.
And I think that's one of the hardest things to recruit, too. I'm sure that drives coaches nuts when you're trying to determine a guy's work ethic and what he's going to be once he gets to college. Some kids, never pan out because maybe they don't love the game as much as they should or as much as they could, and that's where those intangibles come in, and that's why you see some two-stars like Le'Veon Bell that become, five-star guys once
they hit
college.
Kirk Cousins was a low-star guy.
Kirk Cousins, absolutely.
Greg Jones.
And then you see some of the four- or five-star guys fall off. You never hear from them again. And I think a lot of that has to do with those intangibles that are just really tough to spy early on in the process.
Dan, you spend a lot of time covering the teams themselves in addition to recruiting, but we want to bring Sean Shearer in here. And Sean is a recruitaholic. And he is a guy who spends more time on the phone talking to 15-year-olds than anyone I know. Sean, very quickly, you might want to just lower your mic just a little bit there. Yeah. Very quickly, can you tell us the process you go through and how you cultivate these relationships to present the information you do for 24/7 Sports?
Well, as everyone knows, recruiting's accelerated. And along with recruiting being accelerated the ways it has, it's also changed the way I cover recruiting. A lot of it is just attending camps and combines and seeing where these kids are going to be. And
you
watch.
See these kids as many times as you can in as many settings as you can.
That is correct.
Okay, so with all of this, we talk about the stars and the evaluations of classes. How accurate can these be, Dan? Do you think that when you see a rating of a school, it gives you a pretty good reflection of what's going to happen 3-4 years later?
I think that depends. I think with the individual commits, you look at these five-star can't-miss guys, and they certainly have a higher chance to make it to the next level and make an impact on a program. When you get into some of these 4- and 3-star kids, we've got to remember there's hundreds of thousands of high school football players out there, and the margin of difference there is very small, and that's when I think it becomes tough to project a guy and just what he can do at the next level. in terms of team rankings, you certainly want as many of the higher ranked guys as you can, but there's also, coaching staffs and talent evaluation too, I think, is a big role. So it's not the only thing, but if you're signing top 10 classes consistently, like we've seen Alabama do, like we've seen Texas do, chances are you're going to field a competitive team each year.
And yet we see Wisconsin, which never has a top 30 right. class, and they've been to 6 Rose Bowls in the last 2 decades. So you find some coaches who really get concerned with the rankings of players and others, and I think Michigan State falls into this characteristic. They trust their own eyes and think that they can find players who fit their system and then develop them to play winning football. Sean, you see these guys at a very early age. Can you give me the name of a player you saw early on and you said, you know, this guy is really going to be special, and he was. And maybe can you give me a story about someone who you thought would be great, and for some reason, either on the field or off the field, it didn't materialize?
Well, that's a big question.
It is.
I see a
You're
lot
a big
of these
guy.
Kids.
That's why I'm giving you this question. I'm going to bring you in here for nothing.
Well, I think when you look at Michigan State's 2013 recruiting class, if you're asking a guy that kind of describes what flies underneath the radar, mm-hmm. I would go with Noah Jones out of Dillard High School. I mean, this kid had the upside and was taken in by the right coach who put him in the weight room, showed him how to play football, told every coach that came in to evaluate, you know, all the players, which produces several D1 prospects a year, to take a look at this kid. No coach, you know, took a look at him. Once his senior film came out, Michigan State was in there the following Monday, Coach Staten offered him, convinced him to visit, and then following that visit, I mean, he committed. Later on, I mean, Tennessee, North Carolina, Miami, Florida all came in and, mm-hmm. you know, wanted him to visit.
If you look at the video, you see why.
Right? Yeah.
He's got extremely quick get-off with the ball. Looks a little bit like Jarrell Worthy in terms of his explosion at the snap.
And you saw John Reschke early on, too, didn't you? Weren't you watching him as a sophomore quite a bit?
Yeah, Reschke was a guy that just caught my eye because, you know, when he was more of a sophomore, his hand was in the dirt. He was playing DN. He wasn't comfortable playing that position, but he was playing that because that's what his team needed him to play, and that's just the kind of kid he is. I mean, you're talking about a kid that is projected to be, you know, your middle linebacker. I also project a kid like that to be a captain at Michigan State because that's the work ethic he brings every single day. I mean, you're talking a kid that I think he's bench pressing a ridiculous amount. It's over 350 right now. I mean, the kid in the offseason has just put in the time and energy to prepare himself to come in and learn as Max did as a freshman. Mm-hmm. And I definitely see him, I would put him in the topper tier of players that actually would contribute next season.
Have a chance to play right away, maybe on special teams or sure. in a backup role. We're going to be talking with John Reschke at about 1:25. That's about 6 minutes from now. And then a little later in the show, about 1:45, we're going to have a chance to chat with Damian Terry in Pennsylvania. And a lot of questions for them, and we'll take your questions. So give us a call if you have specific questions about recruiting, either for Michigan State or the rest of the Big Ten or around the nation. We got the guys here today who can answer them. So between Dan and Sean and myself, we'll try to do the best we can for you. Give us a call at 877-WKAR-870 or 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. And just another reminder, if you want those hockey tickets, can't imagine who would want these Michigan State basketball tickets. But if anybody, you just can't figure out what to do next Tuesday night, give us a call, 884-4783. Get in the drawing for those tickets. And we'll try to keep Aaron busy between now and the end of the show answering those questions. Before we go to break, I wanted to ask you guys one more question about this. And I've had a chance to spend time with Tom Lemming, who is probably one of the best-known recruiting analysts in the country. He was a mailman, and then he decided to do this on a very local basis, and it just caught fire. Worked out of his kitchen in suburban Chicago, and now he's got a much bigger kitchen. But he was talking about what it was like when he started, and then the reaction of schools to him, and the fact that now when a school decides to get in on a player, if an Alabama or Notre Dame decides that they're going to recruit a player, suddenly he becomes a lot better player in the eyes of a lot of recruiting analysts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, that is kind of the way it goes. Once a kid gets an offer from an Alabama or an Auburn or a top school, maybe a Notre Dame would be another good example. You do see, you know, their rankings rise on in some instances just because, well, if Notre Dame's looking at this kid, he's got to be pretty good. And you know, certainly some people are high on him. So I think that can sway things a certain way as well.
Sean, do you agree with that? Do you think that sometimes, depending on who's recruiting a kid, will determine how good people think that kid is?
I completely agree. And Michigan State, I feel, kind of throws a monkey wrench into that system because they recruit so many of these, you know, top athletes, and they
right.
produce them, they coach them. But I think what makes D'Antonio's staff very special is they look for a player that fits their system. I mean, look at Narduzzi's system. You know, they want a corner like, you know, Justin Williams that can play on an island by himself.
Right.
He's physical. He's an athlete. I mean, he also was told that he's so athletic that he could see some reps on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you're talking about a kid that, you know, he's only a two-star, but since he's getting only recruited by Michigan State, you know, that's why they kind of rank him not where the commit would be
sure.
go to.
Every coach has his own pitch to sell the kid, and I've never seen a coach on signing day stand up and say, we didn't get anybody we wanted this year. It's really a lousy class. I don't know how we're going to win any games. But we will be back with much more. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
Bay State Republicans look for somebody to run for Senate after Scott Brown and Tag Romney nixed the idea. Jersey's Bob Menendez says he's being smeared. New Yorkers remember Ed Koch, and Hillary Clinton leaves big shoes to fill at the State Department. I'm Neil Cunnan. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns, plus Hank Stuver on the Americans and rooting for the bad guys. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
It's been flying for a couple. Oh, no. That was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. A high of 28 and partly sunny today. Mostly cloudy tonight and a chance of snow, the low 20. Tomorrow's high 31 with an inch or less of new snow. And it'll become mostly sunny on Friday with a high of 30.
Welcome back to Sports Talk 870. Jack Ebling here with today's co-hosts Dan Kilbridge and Sean Shearer of 24/7 Sports, the Spartan tailgate site. Sean, before we have a chance to chat with John Reschke here, can you tell our listeners, if they're interested, how to check out the site and the best way that they can maybe get a preview of it and see if it's something that they want to subscribe to? I think a lot of Michigan State fans, thousands now who have done that, have found out that it's the best source for Michigan State recruiting information.
The best way is to either go directly to 24sports.com or go to michiganstate.24sports.com. It's a very easy site to navigate, and I feel not only from the web standpoint but also the mobile standpoint, 24/7 and Spartan Tailgate have built a platform that is more up-to-date and is very already in linked with Facebook and Twitter, and everything is kind of compiled together. And I feel at Spartan Tailgate, we've created the one-stop shop where people can come in and get that information that they need about Michigan State, if it be a team aspect. Jack's insight that you bring to the table, along with myself covering the recruiting beat, also guys like Bill Kerlick that contribute, and then also the entire 24/7 Sports network that, I mean, it's a great group of guys around the nation that, you know, bring together a quality recruiting product, and I couldn't be happier with, you know, working with a greater group of guys at 24/7 Sports.
And the best way to do that is just to go online and check it out, michiganstate.247sports.com. See for yourself. We have a couple callers on the line, and we're going to ask John and Ron to just hold on for a couple more minutes. And let's bring in our first guest today, and that is a linebacker, John Reschke of Birmingham Brother Rice. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Well, congratulations on one of the biggest days of your life, certainly. And can you tell us the feeling? How'd you sleep last night?
Oh, it's unreal. Last night I was just sitting up thinking about all the things and how big of an honor it is to be able to officially be a Michigan State Spartan. It's just the best feeling ever.
And John, what was that feeling like now that you've mailed your letter of intent, or faxed it, I should say, and you've got your entire class signed up. Michigan State has all 18 letters received this morning. What does that feel like, having the entire class together now before noon?
It feels so great because it's finally so official. I mean, we all knew that we were going to sign with Michigan State, but now that it's serious and there's no backing out now, it's just the best feeling ever, and I couldn't be more happy.
John, you are the kind of guy who not only knew what you were going to do, but you knew what other guys should do, and you tried to help Michigan State recruit, didn't you?
Definitely. I was the second commit back in February of 2012, so I did a lot of the recruiting. Like, I helped talk to guys like Damian Terry, Delton Williams, Darian Hicks, Shane Jones. I talked to all of them, so it was really cool being one of the first commits and also recruiting other guys.
And what did you tell them?
I just told them, this is the place you want to play. Trust me. There's no better place in the country. There's no better family. It's a family atmosphere, and we have the opportunity to do something special if we all come together.
John, towards the end of your recruitment, you had a couple schools come in, including Michigan. What was it like, I mean, to be such a highly ranked athlete, be committed to Michigan State for so long, but then a prestigious program like Michigan comes in, offers you late? Talk about, you know, what you went through and how you kind of, you know, came to your final decision to stay solid to Michigan State.
Well, I believe I had a pretty good season this year, and that led to a lot more schools being interested. And it's just that they were way too late, and I already knew where I was going right when Michigan State offered me. As a kid, I grew up as a Michigan State fan. My dad played there back in the late 70s, so I wanted nothing more than to be a Spartan as soon as I started playing football.
Linebacker John Reschke, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. John, an outstanding player for Birmingham Brother Rice. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the difference between knowing how to play and knowing how to win. You obviously have a lot of leadership ability, and talking to your coaches, what Al Fracassa has to say about you, a lot of tributes, and he's seen a lot of great ones come along. When you have a chance to play for a guy like that at a program like Birmingham Brother Rice, what does that do for you in terms of preparedness for college?
Well, we played in a very good league, in my opinion. We played Catholic Central, Orchard Lake, St. Mary's, De La Salle, and a lot of those guys are going to be playing in the Big Ten also. There's guys from CC and De La Salle, obviously. But it prepared me very well. And having the coaching staff that I did have at Brother Rice was awesome. I had one of the best defensive coaches in the country, I would say. He could be coaching at the college level for sure. And then, obviously, with Coach Fracassa, there's no better coach ever.
Who was that D coordinator? Let's give him a shout-out.
Adam Korzeneski. He's a great coach. He's got a great defensive scheme, and he helped me become the player who I was.
Al Fracassa, of course, now 53 seasons at Brother Rice. But, John, I wanted to ask you about your dad. As you mentioned, he played at Michigan State, and just wanted to know what sort of advice, if any, he gave you throughout the process, and what do you think his reaction would have been if you said, "Dad, I want to go play in Ann Arbor"?
I mean, he was the most inspirational person in the whole recruiting process. He wanted me to be open, though, and accept any offer. So he wanted me to sincerely check out every school that I was interested in. And I did. I checked out a lot of schools. But when it came to the time where I was tired of the recruiting process and everything, I wanted to go to his alma mater and his school. But it was definitely my decision. He would have been happy with anything I made. Any decision I made.
John, a lot of the listeners have had a chance to see you play in the playoffs, maybe at Ford Field, the state championship games. But for other recruits that Michigan State is signing today that fans have not had a chance to see, you've talked to them, you've maybe seen some of their video or played against them. Is there another player that you want to say, watch out for this guy when he gets to East Lansing?
I mean, Damian Terry, he's going to be a great player. I think he's going to get a chance to come in and play as a freshman, maybe. He's a pro-style, or he's a dual-threat quarterback, and that's something Michigan State's really never had. And I know Coach D'Antonio wants to try some different things with the offense after last year, so I would not be surprised if Damian Terry got a good chance at coming in and playing. But I want to give a shout-out to everyone else, too. We had a very underrated class, I thought, in my opinion. And we weren't the top-rated guys in the country, but I really do think that we are some of the best players in the country. And it'll show in the next 4 years.
John, talk a little bit about what the Michigan State coaches have said to you. Mike Tressel stopped in to see you. You had a long discussion with Narduzzi and D'Antonio about playing as a true freshman, learning under Max. What have they said to you to get you ready in the mindset that, you know, you will be playing college football next season?
Well, it was pretty awesome this morning when I called Coach Salem and told him that I sent my letter of intent in. He put me on the phone with everyone. He put me on the phone with Coach Tressel, Coach Narduzzi, and then Coach D'Antonio. And Coach Narduzzi and Coach D'Antonio both told me that I'm going to be the future of Michigan State football. And I thought that was an incredible honor that they said that. But when Coach Tressel comes in, especially right after Michigan offered, he was telling me how advanced I am as a linebacker and how much I know about the game already. And he's very excited for me to come in and hopefully play as a second middle linebacker next to Max, which would be awesome. And it's going to depend on how hard I work this offseason, the next 4 months, 5 months, and how quickly I can learn the playbook.
John, you talked about being an underrated recruiting class. I remember a conversation I had with Kirk Cousins, and he was part of an underrated recruiting class. And he got all those guys together that first year at McDonald Hall, and they were at dinner, and he said, hey, we're going to prove some people wrong. We're going to win a Big Ten championship. We're going to dominate Michigan while we're here. And he was right on all counts. So when people tell you that you can't do something, that's never bothered you before, has it?
Oh, no way. It's inspirational, and it's just more motivation to do what they think you can't. I love when that happens.
John Reschke, our guest, the linebacker from Birmingham Brother Rice, one of the top players in the state of Michigan and right at the top of Michigan State's recruiting list, its wish list for 2013. John, thanks so much. Congratulations on a great day, and we'll see you when you get up here in the green and white.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on.
All right. That's John Reschke. Let's go right back out to our phones. We have some people who have been waiting patiently. And how about line one? This would be John from Jackson. Hello, John.
Oh, hi. Hey, I know he's only a junior, but I'm sure everybody's wondering what's up with Drake Harris. What's the latest on him? And to me, that is the best wide receiver, high school receiver I've ever seen.
I think a lot of people would say that.
The only thing I can compare him to is like maybe an Anthony Carter or something, kind of the same size. And
I compared him a little bit to Charles Rogers, maybe not quite as fast, but a better receiver. But
well,
in terms
hands.
Of
wow.
The two-sport ability, Charles yeah. Rogers was actually a three-sport guy. Dan, you've had a chance to see him. Sean, you guys have both followed him a little bit. Dan, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, he's an exciting two-sport prospect, and I think one that really wants to focus on football now that he sees what he can do. And after that state championship game he had that, Jack, you covered, and called me about afterwards and said, you see Drake Harris last night? I said, yeah, man, you think about Damian Terry and Drake Harris playing together, it's something special. And Sean has actually been all over the Drake Harris situation with all the twists and turns there. So, Sean, what's what's the latest in the Drake Harris recruiting circus?
You know, Dan, you hit the biggest point is he realized that his full potential could be on the football field and what he could bring, to a team just as a receiver. And once he realized that, a lot of the schools that had been recruiting him, I mean, going back to this past fall, Alabama sending him over 200 and some odd letters a week, sometimes a day, I mean, is something that, I mean, not every kid receives.
At some point, you just start to tune that out. I mean, you get 200 letters from the same school. What else can they tell you? I mean, what Nick Saban had for breakfast? I mean, eventually, doesn't that kind of get old?
Well, I mean, it's enough that, I mean, it's perked, you know, Harris's interest that all these schools that have been recruiting him, led by Ohio State, that have kind of opened the door for, you know, Tennessee now to offer and, you know, several other SEC schools to follow. I mean, look for Harris to be a 30-plus, 45-plus offer kid.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, he's probably, if not the top, I mean, the top two wide receivers in the 2014 class. With that is going to come offers, attention.
Right.
And Harris has said to me every single time I've interviewed him, and he's been very clear, I'm still committed to Michigan State, but I will take some visits. And his reason behind it, he doesn't want to have any what-ifs, and he doesn't want to look back and, you know, feel like he made a bad decision. He has informed both Izzo and Antonio that he will be taking visits, and everyone's on the same page. And there's going to be a lot more twists and turns of this story. And, you know, just stay tuned to Spartan Tailgate, and we'll do the best we can to cover it.
When people ask me, where's Drake Harris going to go to school? First of all, I say, call Sean Shearer. Second of all, I say, wherever he wants. He's one of those guys who can really make that decision. It isn't which schools want him, it's where he wants to be. And, you know, Dan, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, it's maddening for the schools that have to go through this and sweat it out. On the other hand, if you don't have a few of these kinds of players, it's going to be tough for you to compete and win at the highest levels.
Absolutely, and I think it was huge for them to get him so early because, like John just talked about a few minutes earlier, he can kind of be almost an additional recruiter on that coaching staff, calling guys saying, hey, we got this big class coming in, we're going to be great. On the other hand, it is tough when you've got kids maybe haven't totally made up their mind yet and they're just very young. We've got to remember here we're talking about 15- and 16-year-old kids even though they get all this national attention. But they certainly aren't treated as such when they come to Michigan State. We saw Drake Harris getting a standing ovation from the Izzone when he visited a few weekends ago at Breslin Center. So I think it's got to be a lot of pressure and a lot of weight on those kids, and it's got to be tough for them to handle.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. Let's go right back out to the phones, and let's try line two. Ron from Bellevue. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Jack. It's Flat Gun here.
Oh, how you doing?
Good. Just a comment. I think the offensive lineman from west of Houston would be an exception to some of the thoughts that Michigan State doesn't recruit players that other teams are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple questions I had for Dan and Sean. Who do you think is, or do you think that Cooper, the defensive end, is the biggest stretch as a recruit in this class? And do you think the tight end, Shermer, I think his name is.
Shermer.
Shermer.
Okay. He's the son of Mark Shermer, played for the Packers.
Yeah, I'm not a pro guy. do you think that he has probably reached his closest to his potential at this point in their careers? And I'll hang up and listen on the radio.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much, Ron. Dan, you want to take that?
Yeah, first and foremost, Ron, with Demetrius Cooper, I wouldn't necessarily call him a stretch because of what kind of an athlete he is. Michigan State saw him camp in Detroit this summer and offered immediately after he committed a few days later, and they really like his size and potential. He is a reach to an extent because he hasn't played a lot of football in the past 2 years. He had an injury as a junior and only played a handful of games. In his senior year, all sorts of crazy things happened. There was a transfer issue when he changed schools. He had to sit out a few games. Then the Chicago teachers went on strike, and that put a halt on the season. Only played in one game as a senior, but had a very good game with 10 tackles and a sack or two. And so I think stretch, probably not the word, but definitely going to be interesting to see what happens with Demetrius.
Sean?
My take on Cooper is he was very highly ranked when he was a sophomore in high school. And after he tore his ACL, he thought football was over. But, you know, he literally dedicated himself to not give up every day and to keep, you know, rebuilding himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of flew underneath the radar. And, you know, after he camped at Sound Mind, Sound Body, Narduzzi built a relationship with him, said, you got to come to Michigan State. D'Antonio's got to see you in person. He came back to Michigan State. He camped. He was by far the best defensive end in attendance that day. And adding a player like that is going to be, you know, someone that most likely will redshirt, but it's up to him if he wants to play next season, because Narduzzi told him, Golston's gone. If you want to play, you got to earn it.
That's a great story with the teacher strike there and all that he went through, and you have to root for a kid like that. We will be back with much more, and we do have some tickets to give away. We have to get rid of these hockey tickets today. This is the last time that we can do this, but we have some basketball tickets coming up for the next couple of days. So if you want to register for that, 884-4783, and give us a call if you have questions on recruiting. Dan Kilbridge and Sean Shearer from the Spartan Tailgate site at 24/7 Sports, and you can give us a call at 877-WKAR-870 or 355-WKAR, and we'll be right back with Damian Terry, incoming quarterback for Michigan State from Erie Cathedral Prep. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
On the next Fresh Air, Israeli jazz musician and composer Anat Cohen brings her clarinet to the studio. She's lived in the U.S. and studying at the Berklee School of Music. Join us.
That's a number. It's probably getting so many. Somebody gets a 517 call in the next. That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 p.m. right here on AM 870 WKAR Radio. Now the weather.
Our forecast is for a partly sunny day with a high of 28 degrees. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with a chance of snow and a low of 20. We're expecting an inch or less of new snow tomorrow. The high will be 31, and it'll become mostly sunny with a high of 30 Friday. I'm Scott Pohl.
Jack Ebling here with Dan Kilbridge and Sean Shearer of 24/7 Sports, and this is our National Signing Day show, talking about football recruiting. Give us a call if you have a question, and you can reach us here at 877-WKAR-870 or 355-WKAR. Now, we are trying to get Damian Terry on the line, and he's got a lot of calls from a lot of people, a lot of things he has to do this afternoon. So we hope that we'll be able to hook up with him in the next few minutes. He knew that we were going to be calling at about 1:45, so that will happen very, very shortly. In the meantime, Dan, when you think about this class for Michigan State, what is the strength and what is the concern?
I think you look at strength again at the linebacker position, and that's what we've seen really the past 3 or 4 years with what Narduzzi and those guys have been able to recruit. But Reschke and also Shane Jones, a kid out of Archbishop Mahler in Cincinnati. And if you've heard of that school before, Greg Jones, former middle linebacker, was a Mahler product, as is current defensive end Marcus Rush. And those are two schools, along with Brother Rice, with Reschke, sure, the other linebacker, that kids come in, I think, a little more ready to play because of the coaching they've had at the high school level. And then I'd also look at quarterback, of course, with a big strength, as Damian Terry just put up unbelievable numbers his senior year, and hope to be talking to him soon. Weakness, you look at the receiver position, maybe not a ton of high-rated prospects. Jay Harris and Trey Kilgore are the two there. Both special teams guys that can do some different things, but not really a wide receiver like they had last year with Aaron Burbridge and Monty Medeiros that makes you go, wow.
You know, when you talk about a school like Cincinnati Moeller, you go back in the Michigan State chain of events when Henry Bulla was a defensive coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, the doctor of defense. And his son Shane Bulla came to Michigan State as one of George Perlis's first recruits in 1983. And now we have Max Bulla. We have Riley Bulla. We have Byron Bulla.
Byron's going to be one of the best of the bunch.
Tell me a little bit about Byron Bulla, Shane.
Byron's a little... That kid's like a little firecracker. I mean, he's just going to come out and hit you. He's very physical, very athletic, and he visited Michigan State. I think it was Michigan State's very first practice, and D'Antonio was going to wait and offer him after his first game, but he visited, and Michigan State, I mean, he's one of the quickest kids I've ever seen turn around and commit. I mean, within, I think it was 18 and a half hours from offering to committing. I mean, Byron's going to be a special one. And yep. D'Antonio, I mean, better hope those boys keep producing boys.
I'd also like to point out that Michigan State did not get a Bulla in the 2013 class. What gives? They didn't have a cousin or anyone they could go rescue, find somewhere?
All right. Sean Shearer's worked his magic. He gets on the phone, starts texting, and immediately look who's on the other line, Damian Terry. Hello, Damian. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Congratulations on one of the biggest days of your life.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Crazy, the day finally here after a long recruiting process, but it's real exciting.
Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like the last couple days, how you slept last night, and when you decided Michigan State was the place for you?
I couldn't sleep last night. I mean, I tried to go to bed early, but the nerves and all the excitement just kept hitting me, and I just kept thinking about everything. And so I finally can say I'm officially a Spartan and stuff, but I don't know, just everything about it, really, when I first visited there. And I don't know, I'm just happy. I'm just lost for words right now.
And Damian, you're coming in with a high school teammate in Delton Williams, who also faxed his letter in this morning. What's that like to know that you're going to have a friend and a former teammate in East Lansing and just have that comfort level with Delton?
Oh, yeah, it just means a lot. I mean, he was always a running back and main receiver since freshman year, and just knowing that he's going to be playing offense for the first couple of years at Michigan State, too. That means a lot. I know we're all close with all the commits, so we all have, like, a comfort zone. But this is an added bonus as Delton's coming, too.
Damian Terry, a standout quarterback for Erie Cathedral Prep, another state champion out of Pennsylvania, our guest here on News Talk 870 Sports. Damian, normally there's a learning curve for quarterbacks. Sometimes they wait 2 years, sometimes even 3 years before they get their shot. A lot of people think that you can have a quicker impact than that. What have the coaches told you about your unique skill set and what you bring to Michigan State?
Just that I bring, like, another running dimension to it, and just really, they haven't really told me too much. I know we're just taking it each day by day and stuff, but I'm as excited as everyone else. I'm just looking forward to it and see what happens.
Damian, talk a little bit about your character and what you bring to a team off the field. And, I mean, very impressive numbers, leadership qualities, and all the tools and intangibles. Also, talk a little bit about who you are off the field, and also, how do you feel you camped at Michigan State? When I evaluated you, you were by far the top quarterback that camped at Michigan State this summer. Just hit on those two quick things.
I'm just a very laid-back guy, like you guys said. Just basically how I am on the field, it resembles how I am off. Just quiet, just laid-back, just like hanging out with like my friends and stuff, really. Just, yeah, just me, really.
Damian, we talked to some running backs, and they always say they like the fact that Michigan State will pound the football the way they did with Le'Veon Bell. And then we talked to receivers, and they say they like the fact that they can put receivers in the league like Keyshawn Martin and the things that B.J. Cunningham did. I guess you cover all the bases. When you look at Michigan State's offense, what do you see?
Just like you said, when I watched in my junior year, I was a big fan of Kirk Cousins and stuff. And like you said, B.J. Cunningham, Keyshawn Martin, always watched them. I liked how they threw it around a lot, but they also gave the ball to their running backs a lot, like Le'Veon Bell and Edwin Baker and stuff. So I'm really excited to see like what new wrinkles they add when next year, because I know they said they're going to add a couple more dimensions in their offense. But I like it a lot because I ran a pro style my sophomore year too, so I like what they can bring to the table.
Damian, 50 passing touchdowns this season, along with 700 rushing yards and 12 additional scores there. Are you a scrambling quarterback or a pocket quarterback that can run?
Pocket quarterback that can run. Russell Wilson type.
Russell Wilson type. Michigan State fans are familiar with him.
Yeah.
Damian, do you see a lot of changes in the game in the last couple of years? People now looking at what happens with RG3, and it seems as if that may be a trend with Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson. Andrew Luck may be a quarterback of a different era in some ways, but he can move pretty well too.
Yeah, I definitely like old school quarterbacks are used to like Manning and Brady just being pocket passers, and now, like you said, Cam Newton, RG3, Kaepernick, stuff like that. Quarterbacks are being more mobile, and it's just like a new breed in the NFL and college level football.
Damian, you committed to Michigan State almost a year ago, 11 months ago. Talk about some of the guys that you had an impact recruiting, Trey Gilcore, a handful of other guys. I mean, who are some guys that you recruited to play with you at Michigan State?
Honestly, I really talk to everyone before they commit. I know I talk to, like, Coach State, and they'd tell me who's, like, really thinking about coming, and I'd make sure I put my, like, 2 cents and just get a hold of them and talk to them, really. So I have a good relationship with all the other commits and stuff. I know our two latest, Justin Williams and Noah Jones, I talked to them on their official when I was up there, too. The only one I really haven't talked to is James Badanis, but... Yeah, all the recruits I have a good relationship with, and I always talk to them. I feel like you need to do that as a quarterback.
Damian, it sounds to me that when you talk, a lot of people listen. You've had that success as a leader in high school, and good luck at Michigan State. We're going to list you as quarterback/recruiting coordinator, if that's all right.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Damian Terry from Erie Cathedral Prep. And when you guys look at a player like Damian Terry, can he accelerate that curve and maybe go to a guy who, it's too bad he's not going to be here for spring practice, or you could really see some interesting competition. But if you're recruiting one standout quarterback each class, a guy who comes in is going to have to jump a couple people to get on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And Michigan State already has Connor Cook, who we saw in the bowl game a little bit, and I think that'll be a competition with him and Andrew Maxwell, as well as Tyler O'Connor, who will be a redshirt freshman next season. But Damian Terry is a special talent, and he's something, kind of like he said, Michigan State hasn't had in a while. I know a lot of people have been asking, when's Michigan State going to get a mobile quarterback? When are they going to? Well, they finally got one, and now it's a matter of seeing what he can do and trying to find the right package or the right way to use him, maybe as early as next season.
And, Sean, this creates some challenges and some opportunities for the coaching staff. We hear complaints that Michigan State doesn't do this or whatever school doesn't do something else. I guess whatever you do when you lose is wrong. But in this case, it gives them a few more things in the toolkit to play with and come up with a system that maybe they would like to run but haven't been able to run because of personnel.
Look at a team like Notre Dame, what they were able to do with two quarterbacks. You'd have an offense that would stall, and they would kind of just, you know, throw a quarterback in, and it would spark something. And once you had that spark, I mean, they'd kind of roll with it, similar to what Michigan State did against TCU in the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. I think what Damian Terry brings to that table is, you know, when he comes on the field, you have to be prepared for him to run. You also have to be prepared for him to throw the long ball, which is going to mix up, you know, defenses, you know, coordinators. That's going to be, he's right. Going to be a tough kid to defend. And saying that, he's also a kid that, I mean, you could bring him in. I've also heard a little rumblings, like, he's tall enough where, I mean, you could throw him out on, you know, wide receiver in a package if you needed to, because he's that kind of athlete. And he, the thing that surprises me about him is he's, wouldn't play wide receiver just for like a single play. I don't want people thinking that he's going to play right. Wide receiver and quarterback, but he's just a true freakish athlete that just brings his A game, and he's a winner. And if you need a play, I mean, he's one of those clutch players that you can look to.
Well, it's always nice to have a quarterback who can extend the play.
Right.
Yeah. I think that especially it takes a little bit of the load off your offensive line, and it allows you to do some things. Maybe you don't have to keep a back end to protect on every play. So it gives you a lot more flexibility when your quarterback can move. Now, we're not talking about necessarily a Denard Robinson kind of quarterback, but a guy who is a thrower who can also run. And when you talk about, Dan, 50 touchdowns through the air and 12 more on the ground, that's 62 scores. That's
pretty
good
lovely.
Season.
Yeah.
I want to talk for just a minute about the rest of the Big Ten. Obviously, Ohio State had a good year. Michigan had a very good year. I guess the big story would be if they didn't.
Exactly. At this point, yeah, I think you're right there.
But in terms of the Big Ten, as you look around, who had a good year, maybe who was a little bit of a surprise, positively or negatively? Dan, you first.
I think you got to look at Penn State being a surprise. We have them ranked fourth in the conference behind Ohio State, Michigan, and Nebraska. And with what they were able to do with limited scholarship numbers and obviously all the, you know, no bowl games and all that sort of distracting presence. I think that Penn State really had a good year. And like you said, Wisconsin, we have them ranked sixth, and they are never highly ranked, but always seem to put it to good use. But Ohio State and Michigan, once again, you know, getting all those five-star kids.
Right. Sean, when you think about Wisconsin coming off the bowl game and scoring 70 points in the Big Ten championship game, and then a couple days later, without their coach, they wind up with Barry Alvarez coaching in the Rose Bowl. But what impact did that have on their recruiting class and on specific kids that may have decommitted and gone elsewhere?
At first, it looked like a lot of the kids were going to look elsewhere, but the kids that did look elsewhere, pretty much everyone stayed solid. They've lost, you know, 2004 defensive tackle that Michigan State's recruiting, Craig Evans, a couple of their other 2014 kids. Michigan State has definitely put feelers out there. It definitely, you know, had a minor impact, mm-hmm. but, you know, nothing.
Wasn't the meltdown that people were predicting.
Nothing at all. And, you know, in time, Wisconsin has a program. They have a tradition. They have great academics. They're going to be able to recruit. They're going to be able to compete. And once again, I mean, give Anderson a year or two. I mean, he's going to put Wisconsin right back on the map.
Dan, that leads us to another point when you talk about a coaching change. How often do you find kids are making the decision based on the coach, and how often is it the school and the program?
I've found that pretty much every kid will tell you he's making a decision based on the coach. They all say, oh, the coach is the best coaching staff. You have such a great relationship, and it's all about the relationship with the staff. In reality, I think there's so many factors that go into it, and obviously – every kid is a little bit different. Every kid's looking for something different. But I do think at a place like Michigan State, where there isn't that winning tradition, that consistent tradition like you have at other places, I think more of those kids would probably look toward the coaching staff and what they've done there in the past 6 years.
I've heard a lot of kids say, well, and the academics are a big factor. And then you talk to them 4 years later and they can't tell you where the library is.
Right.
So those things all happen. Sean, in terms of the factors that lead into a decision, whether it's Michigan State or somewhere else, are you seeing any kind of a change with that? And what difference has it made now in the Twitter era?
Social media. I feel the social media has led coaches having to work a lot harder. I was talking to one coach the other day, and he was just saying football has gone to bed with him because he's trying to sleep, but he has to either Facebook somebody, you know, call somebody, text somebody, and it's really, you know, transformed his life. And with the rules that the NCAA is trying to change, things could get a lot, you know, more crazier, you know, come August, but we'll see what happens there. But in particular, every kid's different, and you never know what's going to work for each kid. A guy like Dallin Williams, he was visiting Michigan State for his very first, you know, college experience. Coach Stanton pulled him out of line from the recruit line, took him to the 50-yard line, ran out on the field with him, told him that this is what Spartan, you know, Nation is all about, and, you know, gave him. But right there then, Dalton didn't have an offer. He felt God was calling him to commit to Michigan State if they ever did offer him. And it was the night of the Rocket play when Michigan State beat Wisconsin in overtime. But it was that moment that Stanton took that extra step, you know, to run him out on the field, and no other coach did that to him, and that one impression is what, you know, sealed the deal.
It's always interesting. The factors are many, and it's fun to follow. Nobody does it better than Dan Kilbridge and Sean Shearer of 24/7 Sports. Again, you can go online, michiganstate.247sports.com. Check it out. Opportunities to get a free trial with that, and you can see exactly what that coverage is all about. Want to thank both of them and also our special guests, Michigan State recruits, linebacker John Reschke of Birmingham Brother Rice, and quarterback Damian Terry from Erie Cathedral Prep in Pennsylvania, a couple of state champions. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to be joined by our guest host, and that is Rico Beard of Fox 2 Detroit. We'll be talking about the Minnesota-Michigan State game and football recruiting, much, much more here on AM 870.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.